and Bomb, brought to you by General Mills, makers of Wheaties. But first, I know many of you have been meaning to send for the beautiful print the makers of Wheaties are offering you. The authentic reproduction of the famous Casimir color etching. Well, listen, if you want your copy, you can't put it off much longer, because this offer closes forever this coming Sunday. Yes, your letter must be postmarked not later than Sunday midnight. This is positively your very last chance. Send for yours today. Because when you see this beautiful picture, you'll be very glad you did. Now, as you know, a color etching has all the delicate detail, all the fine line work of an etching. But it also has color. It combines all the qualities of an etching with many of the qualities of an oil painting. It adds warmth and gaiety to any room. But it isn't so bright and colorful as to interfere with the decorative scheme of your home. It fits right into almost any room. That's probably one of the reasons why there's such a vogue for color etchings right now. Why they're considered so smart and modern. And that's also one of the reasons the makers of Wheaties selected a color etching. One of the very finest of color etchings, done by a world-famous master, Luigi Casimir. Casimir is so well-known, so highly regarded in art circles, that an original print of almost any of his etchings commands a price of $30 to $40 in any art shop. We know you like old sidewalk bookstalls along the banks of the River Seine in the heart of the city of Paris. An interesting, pleasant scene. Quiet, peaceful, yet very colorful. Around these bookstalls are a quaint, unusual collection of people, casually looking at the colorful displays of old magazines and books. All of that shown in the foreground of the picture. And in the background, yet completely dominating the scene, is the famous Cathedral of Notre Dame. This cathedral, which was begun in the year 1163 and took more than 140 years to build, has been called the noblest achievement of early Gothic architecture in France. And there it is in the background of this Casimir etching, in all its beauty and dignity. Now, that's the picture we're offering you solely to get you to try Wheaties, the new whole wheat cereal flakes. To get an authentic reproduction of this picture, just buy one or more packages of Wheaties. Get a sales slip from your grocer showing that you made this purchase, then send the sales slip, along with a 3-cent stamp to help cover mailing and handling costs, to Betty and Bob, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, the reproduction we will send you is 12 by 16 inches, just exactly the right size for an inexpensive ready-made picture frame. So you can frame this picture at very low cost, and you will certainly want to frame it. It's a beautiful reproduction on expensive hand-finished paper. It's the kind of picture you never grow tired of. A quiet, peaceful, pleasant scene. And, as I said before, a color etching, such as this work of art, fits into any decorative scheme and will add beauty and color and grace to almost any room in any home in America. But remember, to get your copy of this famous color etching, you must act immediately. Your letter must be postmarked not later than midnight, Sunday, January 24th. So go to your grocer today and buy one or more packages of Wheaties. Then send the grocer's sales slip showing this purchase, along with a 3-cent stamp to help cover mailing and handling costs, to Betty and Bob, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's all the address you need. Betty and Bob, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Remember, you must act immediately. Send for yours today. And now for Betty and Bob. Betty and the mothers of the town are at last making some progress in their crusade. Mayor Crown has promised he would definitely prove to them that he is in sympathy with their plans. But at the bridge where Bob is racing against time to build steel, things are not going so well. In addition, the steel foreman, Joe Bland, although a good man of his trade, is constantly warning Bob that the strain of the work is too much for him. This morning, we find Bob high up on the steelwork of the bridge. Joe Bland is with him, and they're talking. Listen.
How about those cable braces, Joe? Were they tied this morning?
Yeah, we tied them, but I think they're short.
You think they're short? Does anyone ever do any thinking on this job? No. Late steel, short braces, bad rivets. It's enough to drive a man crazy.
And that's just what it's going to do, Mr. Drake, if you don't take it easy.
Oh.
You can't expect to do 10 men's work and get away with it. It ain't normal. It'll hit you in the mind, and when it
does... Never mind that stuff, Joe. Get your gang moving on those 10-ton girders. Come on, man, snap into it.
We'll finish with those as soon as we set this braid.
Well, what are you waiting for? Why don't you set it? Hey, Mulligan, what about that corner post?
Waiting for steel, Mr. Drake.
Well, where is it?
Watch that steel, boss! Behind you!
Lord, that was close. Almost got me.
Didn't you see that load, Mr. Drake?
What's the matter? You know we were hoisting. All right, Joe, I'm all right. Just about missed me.
Just about. Another 6 inches and you'd have been carried off the tower. And it's a long drop to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Funny I didn't see that hoist. I knew it was on the way up, but I... Well, I guess I was thinking of something else.
You can't afford to do that on steel, boss. The man on the derrick thought you were in the clear.
I know, Joe. It was my fault. All my fault.
Well, maybe you better get off the tower for a while. Sort of get straightened out.
No, never mind. I'll take care of myself. You tell your men to get that girder and stop staring at me as though I were a goldfish. Now get out of here and get things going. Hurry up.
You ain't got any right to talk that way, boss. It's only because the men like you that
don't do. Tell me what I've got a right to do. You're going to build that steel, or aren't you?
Well, yes, but...
Never mind the buts. I never seen such a crowd of idiots in all my life. You too, Bland. You're a fool, you hear me? You're an idiot.
Yeah, I know, boss. I know how you feel. It's like everyone on the job was crazy. Crazy guys all around you. I know.
Get out of here!
I'm going. I know what's happening. It gets them all. Only I didn't think you'd crack up so soon.
Crack up? This job is enough to crack any man. Mulligan, come here!
What is it, boss?
Did you tie off that cable this morning?
Yes, I was working with the gang that did it.
Oh, you were, eh? Well, take four men and cut it loose. And do it now, you understand?
Well, what we're supposed to work
don't
on...
Don't tell me what you're supposed to do. Tell Bland to give you four men and cut that cable.
All right, Mr. Drake. You're the boss.
And don't take all day to do it, either.
It's going to take a few hours. These men of mine aren't magicians. And if you don't like that, you can take a run and jump off the end of the tower. Hey, Bland, I need four men right away.
Now, what's the matter, Mulligan? What do you want them for?
Ah, oh, that nut Drake wants us to cut the cable and lengthen it out.
What? Right now?
Yeah, right away. The guy says to me, tell Bland to give you four men right away. I think he's nuts. He knows you need all your men on the steel.
Well, don't mind him. We'll work on the cable later.
I know, but he's standing there staring at me now. I guess he's waiting for me to get started.
I'm telling you, don't worry about him. He ain't staring at you. He's just looking off into space like Big Joe Lowenthal used to do. Remember him?
Oh, don't keep yelping about that, Joe. Sometimes I think all that talk of yours is enough to send a guy screwy. You know all that psychology bunk? And that bunk about mind and supermind? With me, it's a lot of garbage.
That's because you got a thick head with no education.
Yeah? Well, I may have a thick head, but I never had a relation that was dumb enough to fall for that stuff.
Well, you can't tell, Mulligan. There might be something to it.
Well, that's lunch time. We better get down off the tower before Drake thinks up something else.
And later, we find Bob Drake in his home. The hour is long past midnight, and he is bending over a desk as he studies a blueprint. The door to his workroom is closed and locked. He is alone. On the desk is a clock that ticks slowly as the seconds go by. And then we hear Bob as he talks to himself.
They should have checked the temperature before they tied that cable. Fools. Idiots. All of them are idiots. That's strange. I've heard something like that before. Something about everyone being an idiot.
Oh, yeah, that's it. When a man is going mad, he never knows it. He thinks he's sane. He thinks the rest of the world is going mad.
He thinks he's surrounded by idiots. Well, that's what Joe Bland told me this morning. He asked me if I thought everyone on the job was crazy. Well, I said yes. He laughed at me. Laughed at me. And the fool told me I was going crazy. Oh, that's funny. There's not much chance of my going crazy. I'm too busy. I haven't got time.
I've got
time. I'm too busy to think about going crazy.
Going crazy.
Not me. No, not me. They're going crazy.
Going crazy.
Well, that proves it. Joe's right. He warned me that I'd think he was crazy, and that I was sane.
They all start that way. Old Joe Bland has watched them come and go for years. I've never been wrong yet.
He's been in this business long enough to know what he's talking about. Joe's seen what this construction game can do to a man. He knows.
Gets them all in the end. The strain, the worry, seeing men get killed when they follow their orders. Oh, it isn't your fault, but it gets you.
Oh, seeing men get killed. Oh, poor John Miller. I told him he wasn't doing his job right. Told him he'd have to do better, and he was afraid. He didn't want to lose his job. He thought I'd fire him. But I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. He should have known. And then he went out to the end of that girder.
All right, Mr. Drake. Wait till I get out of the end of this beam. I'll fix it. Just wait.
And Joe Bland told him to be careful. So did I. I told him. I warned him.
I'm all right, Mr. Drake. I can make it. Look, I can get right out on the end of this beam like this.
And he went off, trying to do what I told him. Walked out on that beam.
I'll fix it, Mr. Drake, right away.
And then he tripped. That's trying to stop himself.
Yes, Mr. Drake, huh? Oh!
Look out, Miller, don't do that. Don't you fall. You fall. It wasn't my fault. I told him to be careful. I told him not to do that. Oh, what am I talking about? Oh, what's the matter with me?
You're going crazy, Drake. I told you you were going crazy. I knew it'd get you.
Well, that's it. That's it. It's got me.
It's breaking me. I'm going crazy. I'm out of my mind. What does a man do when he knows he's going crazy? What does he do when he's got a wife and a child? What does he do when they put him in a madhouse and his wife is chained to him and she's his wife? The wife of a madman, and people look at her and pity her. Some of them laugh at her. What can she do about it? His son. His son. All the boys point at him. They call after him.
Your father's crazy. Bobby's father's in the crazy house, huh?
He is not. Don't say that. Don't say that about my daddy.
He is too. He's crazy. In the crazy house. Bobby's father's in the crazy house.
I won't let it happen. I'll kill myself before I let it happen. I'll kill myself.
Kill myself.
Yes, that's it. That'll do it. That'll fix everything. I'll kill myself.
Fix everything. Kill myself.
I'll do it. I'll do it. But I must be careful. No one must know. They must know.
Bob, what's wrong, dear? Bob, let me in. What is the doing, Bob? Bob, what's wrong?
Oh, nothing, Betty. Nothing's wrong. Really, nothing's wrong.
Oh, let me in,
Bob. Oh, no, no, dear. Not now. I'm busy. I'm very busy.
You've got to let me in, Bob.
Oh, all right. All right. Just a minute. Careful now. Easy does it. Betty mustn't know. She must never know.
What? Whatever has come over you, dear? Why on earth did you lock the door?
Oh, I wasn't thinking. You know how it is, Betty.
Oh, darling, you're working too hard. You need rest.
Rest? How can I rest? I'm building a bridge.
I know you are. You'll build it, dear. But you mustn't drive yourself mad.
What was that? What did you say?
I simply said that you must rest.
No, 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 not that. What did you say after that?
I don't know. Bob, why are you looking at me like that? What's wrong?
I heard you say... Oh, it's nothing. Nothing at all. You're right, Betty. I'm worn out. I'm tired.
I know you are, darling. Don't work any more tonight. Nothing is so important as all that.
The bridge is important. It's the most important thing in the world to me.
But not to me.
No?
No, Bob. You are. You're my world. My whole world.
Am I, darling? Do I mean that much to you?
You know you do.
You won't let anything change that thought. No matter what happens... You'll love me.
I'll always love you. I always have, and I always will.
And Betty, look at me. Put your arms around me. Hold me close to you.
Yes, dear.
Always remember this, dear. Remember it, no matter what may happen. I love you, Betty. I love you above anything in this whole world. I love you better than I love life itself.
Yes, it would seem that Bob loves Betty and his child even better than he does his own life. For Bob Drake, as a result of the twisted, cruelly mistaken ravings of a well-meaning fool, is about to kill himself to save his wife and child from shame. Joe Bland, dangerous with his distorted ideas of psychology, has convinced Bob he is going mad. And now, what can Betty do? As yet, she knows nothing of Bob's plans. Will she discover them? Will she learn what he is about to do? Saying goodbye until Monday for General Mills, makers of Wheaties.